Are we recording again?
Yeah.
Would you mind summarizing the last point that you were making?
Yes, and the question was there any type of grandfathering that would exempt projects that were in existence prior to that, to this ordinance? And yes, the answer is prior to November 2018, projects that were in existence at that time are grandfathered from, are not subject to the provisions.
And what does the grandfathering mean? If the site approval was done before 2018?
If the site approval was done before that.
But it's not completed yet, you can complete it to the prior plan?
Yes, that's what we thought. Now, any new undertaking as part of that that exceeds a quarter of an acre of new impervious or an acre disturbance is subject to these stormwater regulations. But we don't take into account previous disturbance, for example.
But if somebody had a site plan approved in 2020 and hasn't finished construction, are they now required to modify anything?
No, as long as they had their approval. I'm sorry. That's what I was looking through.
I remember the discussion of the grandfathering to 2018, and it just didn't make sense.
Yes.
What grandfathers?
Let me get to that area. I'm sorry, it's December. The stormwater quality runoff standards do not apply to construction of an individual single-family dwelling that had received preliminary or final site plan approval prior to December of 2018. So it was an individual single-family dwelling.
If it's a commercial, part of a major development, is that on there?
The quality standards do not apply to construction of an individual single-family dwelling, provided it is not part of a larger development or subdivision.
That's what I meant. So if you got approval for 10 houses, but you didn't get the last two done, those last two aren't grandfathered, but a standalone house.
A standalone house is. But if it's part of a subdivision, you're now subject to these.
Okay. Any other discussion? Obviously, we're going to table the introduction until we get another
data
draft based on this. But anything else we'd like the engineer to...
Anything? Good.
Okay. Attorney, did you have any?
No, just they were clear that the revisions are going to be made pursuant to Tom's instruction, and we'll get it back on the agenda as soon as that can all be completed.
Okay.
And we won't do it. We'll get right on.
Thank you very much. Great. So we will table the introduction of Ordinance 2021-04. Which takes us to our resolution for tonight, Resolution 36-2021, which is a transfer resolution from our CFO. He needed to do some last moving funds from one account to another account to pay the final accrued bills. In total, we're moving $4,358.05 from essentially the elections and the legal other expenses to a series of smaller expenses that total $4,358.05. Is there any discussion from the committee or a motion to approve the transfer resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve the transfer resolution 36-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. Which takes us on to old business. First item of old business is, and by the way, do you mind staying a little bit longer?
No, not if you want.
We have a lighting resolution that would be of interest to, since
great.
You're here, it would be.
Sure.
So the first item of old business is our police chief's succession process. He informed the committee this past week that April 30th will be his target retirement date. I turn it over to our subcommittee, Mark and Tom.
We found out that our chief's final day is going to be April 30th. So we were posting downstairs. I think it's going down tomorrow, the actual posting to get the guys to sign up, who are girls, gals, whatever, for interviews. Question for Matt, just so we clarify on this, it needs to be posted for 10 days. Is that the
10 days is sufficient? Yes.
Okay. Is it 10 business days or 10
consecutive days?
It's 10 calendar days.
10 calendar. Okay. So yeah. We're fine. So then, to that extent, is what I, because it's a, we have 3 weeks essentially between now and our next meeting. and trying to keep, to give our new potential chief as much time with the existing chief, I would like to see if we could put on the calendar for the 31st, the 1st, and the 6th as potential days for interviews. So that way, on the 7th, we could actually make the announcement for who will be the succession of our chief.
What were those dates again?
Yes, say those dates again.
31st,
mm-hmm.
1st, and 6th.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
I don't expect, I don't know if we'll need them all, but right. This way it gives the three different days. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. The clerk is telling us the planning board is possibly on which day?
On the 6th.
6th. If that's the case, we did it over at the rescue squad last year, the last time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sorry, Mark. When did you say it was going up? Tomorrow?
31st.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're fine. Yeah, then that's fine.
So yeah. These would be special meetings with the purpose of interviewing the candidates.
Yeah, it's for police chief.
Yep. Yeah, now the 6th.
And whatever other business.
Is there a time frame that we want to put for notification?
Well, first of all, the 6th, there are some really big things on the planning board that night that Abe and I, well, what's the plan?
Well, that's the question there, is if it is, if it's available, we could do 6 o'clock, and I think that would be our last date.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, 6 would be our filler if we needed that many spaces, but we could always, if it's okay with everybody else, I have no problem on my end of it starting it earlier so that the planning board, you and Abe would be available for that.
Sounds good.
You know, it just makes you a full night.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. This is my entertainment right now. We can't go anywhere else, right?
What time would you want to start the other two meetings?
I'm fine with 6, 5, doesn't, you know, I don't know what
time. Is that enough time?
To start at 5?
I don't know. I'm asking, is that enough time between that, if we had the planning board meeting?
Well, on the planning board day, we can definitely start 6 or 5.
Whatever you want.
5 is better. I was saying, what about the other 2 days where there's not? Does anybody have a preference for a time?
I'm fine.
I'm good on both of those other 2 days.
I don't have a preference, so, I mean, 5 or
should we say 5 o'clock then, or?
Yeah, 5.
Okay.
So 5 o'clock on all of them?
Let's say for all of them.
First opening at 5, and if, you know, because last time, what did we take? 45 minutes?
If that.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so somebody, all 3 days, all at 5 o'clock?
Yes. All 3 days at 5 o'clock.
Tentative hold. We might not need them all.
We need it, but I understand, but we need to notice.
I know, that's what I'm getting around to.
We need to actually vote and notice. Right. And then so the clerk or Debbie can notice them.
So then I'll make a motion to have March 31st, 1st, 6th as interview dates for our next police chief starting at 5 o'clock.
March 31st, April 1st,
April 6th.
And can we say for special meetings for the purpose of interviewing police chief candidates and whatever other business may come before the committee?
Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Anything else you'd like to discuss on police chief succession?
At this point, I don't think so. I think I'm good. I think we've got it covered.
Are we going to get another list of questions?
Yes.
The administrator handed those out tonight, so you'll be getting it by email or in your box now.
Yeah, and one of the thoughts, I will hit that. So one of the thoughts is we're having the budget meetings the 18th and the 25th. We usually, even if we don't really need the second one, we always meet on the second one, is that maybe the 25th we can just have a period of time that we go over which questions each person wants to take for it at that point, so we don't have to decide it 5 of 5. On the 31st, if that works for everybody. Because we usually always have two budget meetings, even if the second one is nothing but 30 minutes.
Okay, good idea.
Now I'm done.
Any other discussion on this succession? Otherwise, we will move on to the topic of marijuana zoning regulations.
Okay, dude.
As was previewed last meeting, the state has implemented legislation regarding legalization of cannabis. I think they use the terms interchangeably. The attorney has put together a memo that the committee has informing us that we have 180 days from the date of the legislation, which takes us till August, for the township to decide if we want to have any local restrictions, any local zoning restrictions, or if we take no action by then, we fall completely under the state requirements. I don't know, Attorney Lyons, if you want to give an introduction to your memo?
I could do that, Mayor. This has been a moving target for the last 2.5 years. The ground has solidified a lot, but not completely. There's still some issues being worked out, but the governor did sign the bill. There are now 6 classes. Throughout the negotiation, there had been started out as 3, but there's 6 distinct classes of cannabis activity. And as the mayor said, we do have the first issue is we do have the right to prohibit any or all of those classes, 1 through 6, cultivation, manufacturing, wholesaler, distributor, retail, and delivery headquarters. And just to clarify, if we were to, for example, prohibit delivery headquarters, that would not prevent delivery headquarters from other municipalities delivering into our residents. So the other issues have to do with what zones these will be permitted in, whether we're going to take action to regulate it or, in essence, just allow it to proceed, which it'll default more or less to a conditional use, and it'll be a case-by-case basis as it goes for land use review. So, again, the distinction of the 6 classes is the first clear guidance, and the 6-month deadline expiring in August. The decision we make once the 6-month period expires, if we haven't taken any action to ban anything, we're locked into that permissive position for 5 years. If somebody should decide to do business under the new law in our town, that they would be protected for a minimum of 5 years.
So my thought on how to organize this project over the next couple of months was, tonight in our packet we have a copy of the zoning map. You've got a brief summary of a discussion that the attorney and I and the administrator had with our zoning officer, just to get some background. And so you've got a first set of considerations. As we discussed it became clear that I think our zoning has to address each of the 6 classes of licenses and where, if at all, we would allow those to be zoned. So my thought is tonight we get feedback from the committee on the considerations that are on paper, just because that's something we can talk about, and then we would direct the attorney to draft it into the form of what the ordinance would actually look like, so for the next meeting we could have something more detailed that we review. I think we would want to then send it to the planning board for them to provide input on something that we, another concrete draft.
Well, just to be clear, any of this regulation would be land use regulation, would have to go to the land use board, would have to go to the planning board, and that's why, we hear August, and it's like, oh, and as we all know, back and forth between boards, months can go by quickly, so we're not in panic mode. The law was just signed. We're out ahead of it, so to speak. But particularly with everything else going on, this time will go by quickly. Yeah. And again, I just want to reiterate that no action is action. No action will bind the town for a 5-year period. I'm not saying we may actively choose no action, but I don't want us to be precluded from whatever path Township Committee and the Planning Board want to take. I don't want us to be closed off from any paths.
So unless anyone has any high-level discussion they'd like to have, if you've got the memo.
Well, I'd just like to say one thing. I was really shocked when I saw that there was this meeting and that we hadn't formed any kind of a subcommittee. And this is not a brief meeting. There's a lot of good work that went into this. I can see that. But the fact that I don't know if Abe was. I mean, Abe is the liaison into zoning and legal. I did a whole big presentation on marijuana. I knew nothing about this meeting, so I need to sit down with this for a while and take a look at it. But I just feel like we should have known, because again, it's not just one person running this whole thing. It's my thoughts, just my thoughts.
If we don't have a consensus tonight, we can. review what we have. Everyone can meet with the zoning officer. Obviously, we can't do it. We can't do it together, but we can. If we're not prepared to think about this further tonight, we can consider everything and bring it back on the agenda next week, which we have to anyway. So, this was just an attempt to start the discussion.
I think Abe was saying something.
This is Abe. I have a question here. There are two dates here, and I want to make sure I understand it. Murphy signed the bill on February 22, 2001. And then on the next page, on page two, it says August 22, 2021. Is that supposed to be August 22, 2022, 180 days? Or what's the effective date?
Now, Abe, it's Matt. That's a reference to when we must act. That's a counting of the 180-day review period, so to speak. I'm sorry for the confusion.
So we must act by August 22nd?
Correct.
Okay. And actually, I'll reiterate a bit of what Deb said. I am the liaison to both zoning and legal, and I would like to get my feet wet in these things and make sure that I am involved in the things I'm supposed to be involved in. So in the future, I would appreciate it if these things come up that I'm informed so I can make a decision whether to attend or not or whatever. But please keep that in mind for the future. You know, with that, I do have a question. You know, if we're going to get into this, I guess it kind of to start off on this high level, what is the minimum we can do from an ordinance perspective that gives us an opportunity like it would be from a non-conditional use where we can make a decision on each application as opposed to a very defined ordinance that lays everything out?
I think if I understand your question or your position would be to have it as a conditional use, each of the categories, so then that each application, each particular application, would be a case-by-case analysis by the board. If that's I know your knowledge in that area is extensive, and I think I understand your question as you're asking it, as opposed to making it a permitted use where somebody simply comes in and says, pulls a permit, goes to the zoning officer, and is going to do retail in a retail zone and doesn't require any variances, that wouldn't be subjected to the individual scrutiny I think that you're calling out for, Abe. I hope that answers
your question. That's exactly correct, yes. I think that would give us the greatest leeway in making a decision. I don't expect much of this to happen in Lebanon Township. But in any case, it gives us a lot more opportunity to question each and every application that comes in.
You know what I was thinking, too? Why don't you go down this list, and because there are recommendations here, I would say, why you came upon. I know that some of it has to do with police, I'm sure, with like Route 31 and all that, but
okay.
It would be good.
Just to
it would help.
Catch you up on.
Yeah, catch us up on what you guys discussed.
So the class nomenclature comes out of the memo and the state statute. So class one is shorthand cultivation. Our thought here was, the thought was that we're a right to farm community. The state and others are heavily regulating what can happen where. We, for example, the SADC, from the last information I have, is stuck in a little bit of a quandary because cannabis is a federally illegal crop to grow, but now it is legal in the state, and so they're going to need more time to work out whether it's a crop that qualifies for a farm activity or doesn't qualify, because I believe the SADC regulations right now say you cannot grow federally illegal crops. So we're not going to have perfect information in the next couple of months for what we do, but the thought was it's going to be heavily regulated. And practically, these are grown in giant greenhouses to get any kind of scale, so it's going to be the Highland regulation for how much impervious coverage they can have. It's reasonably protected. But the thought is, if someone's got a 10-acre farm, and let's say three or four 10-acre farms want to gather up together and form some sort of co-op and get into this business, do we want to restrict our farmers from a crop when it is going to require a lot of I sound like I'm asking a question. I'm just stating that was the consideration. So the consideration was, since it's going to be regulated, there are requirements for security around crops and everything else that I believe come through the existing state regulations. You know, water, well use, everything is heavily regulated. Our thought was, if someone can meet all those regulations in a farm area, we don't restrict it from a zoning perspective. I'll run through and then you can react. The Class 2 license is for manufacturing. And our thought was, somewhat obviously, to restrict that to our industrial zones, of which the map is kind of small, but we've got a couple of industrial zones. I think the most notable one is up 513, where someone might want to be able to manufacture. Again, they have to follow all the state regulations for all the security and emissions and everything else. Wholesaler, again, kind of a warehouse situation. I don't think we want to have people in residential zones putting up a Butler building and calling themselves a wholesaler. So, again, we thought limit that to the industrial zones. Distributor, and this is not the home delivery. This is people who would distribute to different manufacturers and then from manufacturers to retailers. Again, seemed obvious to think that would be in the industrial zone. And, again, following up on Abe's question, where we would get to eventually, if you look up our code, I think it's section 400-9, we list out the different zones, and under that we have different activities. There's a table you'll see, and an activity like a hotel in a certain zone may say PPU for principal permitted use or CU for conditional use. So that's why I wanted to do this kind of in layers. We'll come back and decide, do we want conditional use or do we want to make it permitted? And if it's potentially permitted, that means the zoning officer can sign off if everything's required. If it's conditional, it means it always comes back to a board to review. So,
I think it's important to note, because this information is again, it's constantly developing, but it seems that the path, each one of these classes requires a separate license.
Right.
And it seems like the path of the larger players, the groups that do this, they will be applying for 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
And it seems that there, when the manufacturing and the wholesale is part and parcel of a larger grow facility, and that we should anticipate, and this is literally within the last couple of days, that's getting a little clearer, that people that are going to cultivate a large swath of it enough to be a wholesaler are most likely going to seek to do all four of those first classes. And there's a clear distinction between 5 and 6, which are seemingly going to be entrepreneurs, non-farm-related activity. And again, the delivery headquarters being just clear that even if, there's no way to prevent if somebody in town wants to order, there's probably going to be a delivery headquarters at least within driving distance in some nearby or adjacent town.
So stepping off of that.
This is Abe.
Yep.
Do you think it's possible that somebody might get a license, for example, on Class 2, 3, and 4, and then contract with a farmer for Class 1?
Yeah, I do, Abe, and I do think particularly in more rural areas where there's a certain experience, knowledge, and maybe even existing greenhouses, or at least the ability to get up to speed quickly on cultivating, there might be sort of a clearinghouse. You could envision where numerous farmers or landowners, I should say, but get licensed to cultivate because it's what they know, and that there's sort of like a collective or a shared manufacturer, wholesaler, distributors, a depot in essence, where you know, where numerous farmers, it's not what they know, it's not their knowledge, there's a lot of equipment involved, it's costly, it produces all kind of other concerns, but that could be funneled to a central location, or if not central, but at least a combined location. That's absolutely a possibility, Abe. I think that's probably a likelihood around here.
Yeah, recognize that already exists in the dairy industry, where the individual farmers sell their milk to a co-op, and the co-op processes it and markets it. So co-op is class 2, 3, and 4, and the milk farmer is class 1.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Okay, so then...
I just... My biggest concern is if there's issues about, and it doesn't sound like there are, but again, I don't want to, if we're considering any prohibitions, those we really need because of the deadline and because of the severe impact of missing that deadline and because of our need to work with the planning board, that if that's a conversation that's going to be had, that needs to start. That, issues that Abe's talking about, the mayor talking about zones and whatnot, obviously, we'll have to go back and forth also. But, there are towns that banned this before it was enacted. And then and that's the other thing. None of those prohibitions are valid. The law struck those down.
Yeah, but at least they thought about it. You know what I mean? They kind of knew where they were headed. It's not like it work was in vain totally.
No, not at all. Mm. Not at all.
So stepping on then to Class 5 retail, which I think is oftentimes the most controversial, Lebanon Township has two different business zones. We have the B2 zone, which is the strip along Highway 31, and then we've got so-called neighborhood business district, B1, which is along 513 near Califon, but it's also around the Wood Glen store and a couple little areas tucked in the township. So the first thought that we put out for consideration was the B2 zone along Highway 31 is probably the place to limit it. And the guidance we get from the attorney as well is you can't limit it so arbitrarily that it makes it impossible for anyone to meet the requirements, as then we're subject to legal challenge.
Well, again, but just to put a finer point on that, this is and you can't reason this entire bill, this entire law, with existing law. There's so many contradictions, but we can ban it completely.
But then we have to ban it completely. We can't say we're going to allow it, but then effectively not allow it. If I understood you correctly,
I bet you any money they change this. Like if for those that ban it, I bet you the 5-year thing becomes less. Like you guys want to? Not that they are. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question.
You know,
but just
I
to
could
be
just
clear,
give you a second chance.
I read it from that perspective, it's clear that if we don't ban it, we can't ban it in that 5-year window. What's not as clear, and I don't think they anticipate it, was what I think you're saying, which is, to try to do it in the opposite direction.
Right. If everybody, say like they didn't, everybody starts banning it, then it's like they're going to relax.
Yeah, they're going to say, okay, yeah, we'll let you have another shot at it.
Because that 5-year thing is what bothers me the most. Like whatever we do, we have to get it right.
It's yes, and
for
again,
us, right,
we're
us.
Dealing with some questions that I'm sure there's going to be questions that nobody can answer because we're dealing with a regulatory board that was just formed, and there's going to be questions and definition and process and whatnot that you are going to be making presumptions. It's the only way you're going
to
get
it. And I believe to reflect that, the state has already said the first, for example, retail establishments that could open are probably a year from now by the time they get through all
the medical stuff.
The first retail sale.
By the time the rules are even
Right. But they have to have a stash of inventory certified. That
There's people. The growers, the cultivators have been long ahead of this. There was a lot of activity under the Medicinal Act to get licensed and get facilities and infrastructure in place, anticipating that this was going to happen. But I think it's correct that the anticipated first retail transaction is not expected until first quarter of next year.
the township has the ability to regulate opening and closing or for the building.
If a patrol officer
needed to be there to direct traffic, I've heard where they've had traffic jams in some areas because the use was so large that they had to have a officer directing traffic in and out of the.
I haven't heard that, but I can believe it. But there is the ability to regulate security.
So we do have some regulation.
Add to it.
That would be in our ordinance.
We could absolutely fold that in.
All right.
And the hours of operation and whatnot, yes. As long as it's reasonable and it's not arbitrary. You know, we can't tell them they can be open from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and that's it. But if there's a reasonable basis.
Look at other ends of it.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not even there yet. I get it. You know?
Now, like you said, there are a lot of issues. And, again, that's why we're in March and I can see I'm hoping we don't need to schedule a special meeting in July, to meet
these
deadlines.
We better leave the agenda open on the police interviews. You know, we might have to do a little talking.
And that goes without saying, for example, on the retail, I mean, this says maybe B2, but if there's a committee majority that says nowhere anywhere in the town, that's always the unwritten backstop.
In the past, on some things like this, we've done it, and maybe worth doing this is doing, depending on, you know, availability of room occupancy, as a joint meeting between both us and just to expedite items instead of having to bounce back and forth.
That's true. That could turn three meetings into one long meeting, but it could be more productive to do it that way.
Okay, then just for completeness, the last category, delivery headquarters, as we call it, and just to reiterate, as the attorney said, this is really sort of the depot where the cars are parked. Our thought was it may be their retail license also gets a delivery license, so that's why we thought we would a standalone operation might be limited to the industrial zones, but in B2 only if the Class 6 holder also has a Class 5 holder license. So if you're a retail store and you also want to be able to deliver,
I see. Mm-hmm.
That you could potentially be in the B2, but not as a standalone sort of car van depot.
The reason they're different is that there's pretty intense state regulation anticipated with regard to the running of delivery. Right. You know, you're not just going to be able to have people like you're delivering pizza, like, oh, you take my shift. It's
I was
gonna
wondering
be,
about that.
Yeah, yeah it's going to be, yeah.
We had the barbecue truck down there on 31. <31, laughs>
Well, that's for after.
I'm like, can it roll around? You know,
I mean the inventory requirements on this, so to speak, are already, at least in the medical field, and it's anticipated just come over, are very, very meticulous down to the smallest quantity, and you know, from a licensing standpoint, that's going to be a requirement to maintain clear books, that there's no product, there's no inventory missing or diverted, as you said.
So
is the retailer necessarily the deliverer, or can they be two different entities?
It's anticipated, Abe, that you can have a delivery-only service. It's also anticipated that it is fairly certain that you're going to be able to obtain both. It's just more work, more diligence required on behalf of the applicant.
And if I can, Matt, confirm to me the way I read your memo, the home delivery license is actually pretty broad, that they can actually facilitate the sale. So they may have the ability to somehow take your order, then go to a licensed retailer to fulfill the order, and then drive it back to your front door.
Yeah, they're a true middleman, like a broker almost.
And I think, as you told me, the state statute is to make sure that cannabis is available to every resident in the whole state. So if a municipality wants to say we're not selling it in our town, you can't stop a delivery company in the next town from servicing your residents.
Uber smokes.
That's correct. You cannot. And that's correct. Is that the legislative intent? The discussions are to make this available to everyone fairly, so to speak. Not necessarily equally, but that everybody has an opportunity to obtain it.
You mean like everybody over the age of 21?
Well, that's a whole other discussion as to the additional burden this has and will shortly place upon our police officers.
So now, in addition to these six license categories that we're going to have to think about, there's also the topic of consumption areas, which I'm just, since I've already asked the attorney about this, these are not outdoor places. This isn't something where we have to say it can be allowed in the municipal park or not allowed. It's not allowed in public areas. It's not allowed on sidewalks, not allowed in any public areas. But a restaurant, for example, could get a license for a consumption area regulated within a commercial operation.
Now, just to be clear, it doesn't appear that that's true.
Okay.
It appears that that is not true now at this point. But it's again... if it's similar again to a C&D license in the liquor arena, where you have a consumption license and a distribution license, you go to a liquor store, buy a bottle, you have to walk out with it and take it home. You can't stand in there and consume it, as opposed to a consumption license where you can buy it and partake with others in the facility. So it doesn't appear that existing businesses previously. And there's, I'm not exactly sure where they are, believe it or not, on food service in a licensed facility. Because I think there's been opposition from other groups who already operate food establishments. So that's going to be really clarified, I think, with the Cannabis Regulatory Commission.
Now, what about, you know how there are certain bars that have this license where you can sit there and drink at their establishment? I think Washington, there's one up there, a small little bar and a little strip mall. It's a store. You can buy your liquor there, but they also...
A Broad Sea, you're talking.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Back in the 70s and 80s, there was a Broad Sea license, which they don't issue anymore. But again,
it's like
grandfathered.
Gold. Yeah.
Golden.
Yeah.
It's a valuable license.
Okay.
But point is, our ordinance... We can ban a consumption area
correct.
Anywhere in the township, or we can zone a
correct.
Consumption area.
Correct. It's a discretionary call on your part, and that's, you know, whether you want to...
So whether it's a standalone facility or however the rules emerge, we sort of have to take a position on that before we know what the rules even are.
Yeah, yes. I mean, hopefully the guidance continues to trickle out, but...
So
and I think Bev's right. We could get to August, and they could say, you know what, January.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't promulgated this and that, and it's unfair. But until that happens, we're up against it.
We have to do our due diligence.
Yeah. It took 3 years to get here, and now it's like, oh, you got 6 months to decide all these things. And by the way, there's a lot of blanks in the equation.
So when we're looking at the zoning map and thinking about our zoning and our ordinance, put a consumption area in mind, whether we would allow those in B2, allow them nowhere. Of course, they all have to follow whatever state regulations are coming. Just another aside that I found very interesting when the topic of consumption came up, the question came to my mind of how is the state allowing kind of the nuisance factor if we don't have many densely populated places, but let's say you had a four-story apartment building with outside decks stacked above each other. This is now a legal activity. If people are blowing smoke below you or next to you, what rights do you have? And I'm told there's no enforcement mechanism.
It's that if I know it's a nuisance sort of argument, because there's no technology currently available. It's not like sound, where you go out there with a sound meter and it's 112 decibels. There's no odor capturing device available. It's not like a breathalyzer or something like that. So, I mean, other than being a good neighbor, I don't know how that's going to be enforced. I really don't, as a nuisance. I really, you know, other than common courtesy. But again, it'll be a legal activity. There can be lots of legal activities that infringe upon your neighbor's rights.
But think about with the cigarette smoking. I mean, it's the same thing. If you're in that situation, they ban smoking on the beach, right?
Right.
Yes, in certain places, and people still do it, but...
Yes, they do.
That's for sure. I'm always downwind from those people. I always pick the wrong spot.
So I don't know if anybody wants to give any reaction to this discussion, or... Like I say, there's no vote, there's nothing tonight, it's just any initial guidance that anybody wants to give?
I'm trying to figure out kind of one side all the way to the other side and understand the parameters under which we can make some kind of decision. So we can decide to make it, legal or allow it and allow it universally. Or we can inhibit it, but the problem with inhibiting it, I'm going to the other side, is that we have class 6, which means if we say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, if we say we don't want it in the town, it's still going to get delivered because of state law. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, Abe. And
yeah.
And,
so
and,
we can't
yes.
stop it. So. You know, we're now in a position, if we can't stop it, you know, how do we best move forward with it as it is? Are the farmers here, maybe not next year, but maybe in 5 years, the farmers may very well want to grow this crop if it's lucrative and they can make money and sell it to a co-op. And... And there's opportunity here for the township itself to raise some money as a consequence. So I'm just putting out these issues. I'm not saying one or the other. There are a lot of moving parts here, and I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people with differing opinions. But one thing is for sure is we cannot keep it out simply because of Class 6.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, and maybe one that I did not make, that just because we have what I would say is land use right to prohibit, that the possession and consumption and use of it will be legal in our township. So you're right. We can't ban it to the point where it's an illegal substance in our – well, get the federal law out, but that in the state of New Jersey, it's going to be legal in all. It is legal in all municipalities. So we're really faced with the land use planning issue that you've identified. And again, not only will people be able to buy it next door or wherever, but they'll be able to get it delivered almost certainly to their front door, like a pizza.
Right. And given that, then I question the value of the inhibit side. You know, we're not going to allow it anywhere in the town, class 1 through 5, for example. And so since we can't do that, and again, I'm just throwing stuff off the top of my head right now, then it probably makes some sense to sequester it in the B2 zone, which will probably limit, you know, interference throughout the rest of the township, you know, keep it in one spot. And in that case, whoever wants to go there has got a lot of paperwork to do. If that would be, for example, class 2 through 4, I'm not sure what to do with class 5, the retail licenses, whether that should be in the industrial zone or any place there's a mini mall, you know. I mean, I've been to Colorado, and, you know, there's a retailer across from every Starbucks. I mean, it's everywhere. So I don't know how we're going to be able to stop that. Anyway, I'm rambling on trying to figure out something here, or at least present what the issues are.
What you just said, Abe, about Colorado, see, that what it makes me think of, too, like where you said where it's everywhere, I would love to know what surrounding towns are going to do, because I don't want this to become a destination spot for a head shop, pot smoking smokehouse. Like, it makes sense to
me. Well, I agree with you, but I assure you there will be towns where that will exactly happen.
Because you don't...
People will be heading there. But again, that's why I'm saying, you know, if we sequester it to the B2 zone,
yeah,
that's where we know they're going to be.
Well, I guess maybe this is my question to Matt and you know, is... Mm-hmm. So the problem we have in our town, and this goes back to when I was on a planning board, is use an example of GenSyke. When GenSyke came here and they wanted to get on Trimmer Road, the problem is while we have these different zones, that's zoned industrial. However, there's a home right across the street that's in the industrial zone but is a home. So can we restrict it to just a B2 zone, or can we literally restrict it down to property areas or blocks or lots so that we know if we have there's a space that it could go that's next door neighbor? And Tom sat through some of those, and not on the board, but you were in the audience. There's, you know, we have a lot of areas where, because we never really had industrial, people built houses in these industrial zones and these commercial zones where they kind of intermingle.
To address that, obviously I've been spending a lot of time with our zoning code the last week and a half, but I believe it's chapter 400-16 is titled Sexually Oriented Businesses, where we have a clause that says, no matter where you're potentially allowed, you still can't be within 1,000 feet of a residence, a school,
right,
a church, or this and that.
And
so that's the kind of direction we need to give to the attorney. Do we want an overriding? For example, it could be conditional in an industrial zone, but still not within 1,000 feet of a church or a residence and things like that.
The answer to your question is it can be addressed. There is a line where the restriction, if we're not going to ban it, we go back to standard municipal land use law considerations. Is our regulations have to be reasonable, and there has to be a basis for them, and we can't just arbitrarily decide that, you know, they can't be near things that don't warrant that protection, so to speak. But the answer is yes, you can try to take that in from an overall perspective, or it would go to the other alternative to achieve, Mark, what I think you're proposing is what Abe spoke about earlier, which is if it's a conditional use as opposed to a permitted use, then the board, and you sat on the board, you know, those conditional use applications are difficult because it's a case by case, and it gets very personal. It gets very, you know, the room, the people affected, and I'm sure you're citing as something that actually happened, and you know how those applications go. So that's the consideration that the governing body and the planning board need to make between now and August as to which one of those buckets we want to land with this. Do we want to preemptively do what you're saying and try to make that consideration globally, or do we want to acknowledge it can't be done as precise as you want it to be, so it goes to the process that Abe suggested, which, you know, may lead to some lengthy and involved planning board hearings, or land use hearings, whichever. But that gives it the attention that you're suggesting.
The auditorium of the school.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Just along the only thing I had in this area of somebody who's stated what they're going to do right now is Bridgewater, and they're going to reenact. I guess they're going to implement the ordinance that they passed in 2018. That was probably invalid, but now has to be validated. They're going to prohibit recreational marijuana dispensaries within its borders, but will allow medical marijuana dispensaries while outlawing marijuana cultivation facilities, production of marijuana products, and marijuana testing facilities. And then they're going to also implement an ordinance prohibiting marijuana smoking in public.
They can do all that. I don't even know if they need to do the in public, but that's and you're right. We've seen very divergent. Nobody has taken all these steps, but we have seen very divergent opinions, right? You know,
yeah,
within a 20-mile radius. You know, there's some very different opinions.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting.
And I think the good thing, I think the categories actually was a positive development by having six classes.
Yes.
And you know,
yeah.
Classes 5 and 6 are clearly different. 1 through 4, and certainly category 1, different type of thing for consideration. And the fact that you can pick and choose, you can go a la carte and support the cultivators / processor, but not have the head shop or mm-hmm. destination. That's given us a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of discretion here.
Well, it's that thing you were talking about months ago. It just made me think about that some of the problems that you saw were with the smells coming out of the processing facilities, even though they weren't smoking, you know, like processing the stuff, just the smell of it growing or something. I forget what you were saying.
No, there's been land use disputes relative to the medical industry, the medical marijuana that's obviously already here, that has to do with what happens to the plant after it's picked and before it gets to the user and the extraction. I'm not conversant in it, but that whole process allegedly produces odor, at least alleged by the neighbors.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and who travel to other areas where it's already being done, so.
And that kind of comes into play even with the apartment house situation. It's like the smells and things, so it's a lot to think about.
It is, it is.
So I would suggest that we all...
Oh,
go
Abe.
Ahead, Abe.
Yeah, to get to this Bridgewater resolution, I mean, again, with that resolution, they're not going to stop it from coming into the town under the distribution on Class 6. So it is going to come into the town. What apparently they don't want is the Class 2 through 5 in the town. And that may be because Bridgewater might have more open space and industrial or business zone areas where it could possibly come in. I think we here in Lebanon Township, there is a limited number of areas left that even if somebody wanted to come in, where they could put something like this. So in that regard, we're already protected from that. And if something goes into the B2 zone, I'm trying to think along 31 there, it goes from Crager on down a bit. There really isn't much there, I think, that where a lot of one or two of these facilities could possibly get in. So it may not be a major issue for us, is all I'm saying. And maybe we should look at that a little bit. Bridgewater may be reacting because they might have a lot of, and they do have a lot of industrial and business zone areas.
So I was going to say I would suggest that we all look at the table in our current zoning, that's you know, chapter 409, and think about where we would insert the different licenses and permitted and or conditional use. And
409.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's all I guess that land use area.
Yeah, that's the whole.
So unless there's any other clear opinions that anyone wants to give the attorney guidance on tonight. We'll move on to the next topic.
Well, I was going to say, since he brought up, you know, he's doing the marijuana, I just wanted to let you know that I'm keeping a running list, the talking points that I did at the last meeting. I'm trying to stay updated and just give everybody in doses as I learn a little bit more. So before we do the lighting under old okay. business, is what I'm doing is putting it in different font. So that
okay.
I can...
And just to be clear, I'm prepared to do the marijuana. I need the committee to tell me what your wishes are,
yeah.
whether that's through, again, consultation with planning, back and forth. You know, my job is to enact what you instruct me to enact. So right now I don't know what that is. So I'm not coming in a couple of weeks with the proposed ordinance because I'm not quite.
Oh right,
yeah. You know, I'm gaining some knowledge, it doesn't seem we're anywhere near a consensus. Which we shouldn't be. There's not enough information yet. But
I think the question for me right now is, as Mike touched on it,
permitted use or a conditional use. I like the idea where this is being driven to right now. I just got to weigh that all out. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's a fundamental question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, next order of business that we get, that we have a combined meeting with the planning board and hash this out?
My thought was that this committee get a little bit more of a consensus and then probably have that combined meeting. And it partly depends. I don't know the exact calendar of the planning board meetings either. We meet more regularly than
they
do.
They're a little bit off, yeah. I know the 7th or the 6th they're having.
Yeah, they meet on the Tuesday, right? Their next meeting is on the 6th.
I would recommend that
can we have a special meeting?
Committee.
I think we should. I'm sure we can have a special meeting, but I was just thinking that maybe we ought to come back together again and kind of refine some of our thoughts. Maybe Abe and Bev can make some kind of report to the planning board on what we're doing right now on behalf of the committee, just so they're getting caught up to speed, and Ted possibly could as well, you know, highlighting some of the points. But I think we're not right there yet. I think that I would like to see us meet again and go over this myself.
Yeah.
And then I would think that we put us all together, and maybe some of our notes or highlights can be handed to the planning board prior to that meeting so they get a chance to review what we've done so that we're all on the same talking points. We'll be a little ahead of the program, but they'll catch up. And that's my feeling, but I agree that a special meeting or a meeting with the planning board on one of their targeted dates would be the way to go.
I mean, realistically, looking at the August date of when we need to have it done, the time frame of passing an ordinance, I'd say probably even if you guys went back, I think we'd probably shoot for, if we're doing a combined meeting, May at some point.
Yeah.
Would be, you
soon.
Know, so maybe put that in their head just so that they have a time frame of where we're thinking here.
Yeah, and the thing I was thinking too, I mean, Abe has some really good ideas, and I was thinking maybe have a subcommittee of Abe and Mike, since you guys have already started working on this. I'm kind of looking at it from a different angle, and that way you guys can keep talking, because right now it's like we're going to all be, this is pretty complicated, and we can't talk to more than one other person, so why don't I make a motion to have a subcommittee of Mike and Abe to dig down in the details of this so that when we do come together, at least two people have more information that they can lead us along.
I'll second that.
I have no problem. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Actually, I think if Mike and I would sit down again with John, kind of hash out all this, where all this land is and what can actually occur here in Liberman Township versus the generalizations that are in this report. But some of these things just may not come to fruition in this township.
Roll call vote?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, we'll coordinate getting together as soon as possible.
All right, so with that, Just a couple of updates here. Again, just to go back to that federal level, the reason it's under federal law, it's considered a Schedule I drug with no medicinal value. Just so you know, that's what the federal problem is, besides the interstate travel. So what they're saying now is that, you know, expect the changes in the laws in the coming weeks, months, and years that will take additional steps to protect employees and employers and jobs where safety standards are needed. There should be no confusion about workers' rights and employer responsibilities to protect workplace safety. For example, the healthcare industry, child care, law enforcement, employees who operate heavy machinery or equipment. So, and then if you jump to the time frame and the prerequisites, the reason they're saying it's going to take so many months to ramp up this medical supply and accommodate the over 21 market at the same time at these medical dispensaries is because currently patients are already complaining of long lines and supply shortages. The number of medical marijuana cardholders has grown by tens of thousands since Governor Murphy took office, but New Jersey has only seen 7 new dispensaries open in that amount of time. Growing new marijuana from seed to harvest can take 3 to 4 months, and expanding cultivation sites to both serve the medical community and continue to be wholesale providers to other operators that sell but do not grow is crucial to creating the sufficient inventory. So there are some constraints about why they're moving so slowly here, why they can't do it faster. And then if I was talking about the marijuana license applicants, that they're going to they have the year-long moratorium is pushed out, but there's a currently 147 paused applicants. That's what they're going to be looking at right now. And this is an interesting area. All six members have been chosen. Originally, it's going to be five members, I think, but now there's six members on this cannabis board, and I have all their bios. If anybody's interested, just let me know. I can send it to you. The law is, as I mentioned last time, is limiting the number of licenses to 37 during the first 2 years of legalization, but 10% of those licenses are being reserved for entrepreneurial micro-businesses. It comes with limits on the total employees, how much more marijuana is sold or handled, and it's designed for those who want to run a small operation or need the room and the experience to grow into a full-fledged cannabis business. Now, the reason that this was a lot of that came about apparently is because Ed, what's his name, Forcion Weed Man,
around
for a long time. The advocate. Okay, so how do you know him?
I don't know. He showed up at one of our meetings.
Yeah, where does he live? Do you know his shop?
He was down
anyway,
south. I don't know where.
So
he
they're all up in I don't want to say it. There are shops that have that they're just, I guess, ignoring what's going on in the back room right now, like in Trenton. There are some things going on. And they're calling it the black and gray market dealers, and they feel that there's barriers to them becoming legal. They want to become legal, but at the same time, it's cost prohibitive. So they've existed for decades. They're thriving. They're $50 to $150 less per ounce than licensed medical marijuana dispensaries they're selling at. And what they're saying is that if anybody has gone to these neighborhood shops, they're experiential. You can touch, you can smoke, music's playing, versus the sterile corporate medical dispensaries where it's almost like going into a phone store where everything is all laid out and you just walk around, but you're not having the whole experience. They're also doing pop-up events, which are legal businesses converted to a black market, smoke-filled marijuana bazaar for one night. And they feel like they're being left out of the process. They're saying that it's limited licenses, it's cutthroat process. Licenses are referred to as golden tickets if dispensary owners have hundreds of thousands of capital to be considered. You know, lots of community and dealers don't have access to traditional lending markets. So what they're saying is, until you help these people become legal, there's always going to be a black market that's going to undercut. Now, this is the gray market that really, really got me. Which is, there's a loophole in the legalization law that allows anyone to transfer without remuneration, which, in other words, I can give Mike an ounce of marijuana as long as you don't pay me. It's legal, right? So what they're doing is, and it's got to be for non-promotional, non-business purposes, so they're delivering plain cookies, like cookies or cakes, no marijuana in them or anything, for 18 times the price of an Oreo box. And then they're giving people bags of marijuana. So that way, it's like they're working around the
like
law.
Like selling plastic cups.
So it's like you're saying, oh, it's a gift. You're a good customer of mine. It's not promotional. It's a good gift. So anyway, so that's kind of what's going on there. And then just in the let me just see. What was it? Something about the – okay, this is about the on-the-job use. There's some new things that came up in that area. Let's see here. This goes back to that question. Could a person lose a job for smoking marijuana? And basically, the protection is going to fall away when the worker is on the clock or on the employer's property. There's scenarios which New Jersey workers can be prevented from using weed in their free time, and that's if their job is governed by federal regulations, such as a commercial driver's license holder, if they work for the federal government itself, which still considers marijuana the Schedule I drug with no medicinal value. Employers who hold federal contracts could also institute such a policy if they hold federal contracts that could be at risk due to the state's marijuana laws. And now they have this, I was telling you last time about this workplace impairment recognition expert. They're calling them WIRES now, W-I-R-E, that the aspects of this WIRE program has not yet been developed. Does the WIRE get involved before or after the drug test? What kind of exam should the WIRE perform? The employers are baffled because the law takes effect immediately but does not become operative until the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, you know, is forthcoming with their rules and regulations, which is months away. And they're not sure, again, how this is going to apply to the workers bound by other laws, contracts, and agreements. So there's still a lot that has to be worked out there. And let's see if there's anything else here that's okay, this whole thing about the how much marijuana can a person have, but they had an update on what about pending charges. And there was confusion because the attorney general was telling prosecutors to request adjournments of minor marijuana cases but didn't call on police to cease the arrests. And that's why those 6,000 cases are out there. The guidelines are unclear with respect to edibles or vape pens with THC. Those charges may not be dismissed if they were written up by police as a Schedule I drug offense and not as marijuana. So what they're saying is some people, there's a charge called wandering, marijuana possession and wandering, which is prowling or loitering for the purpose of buying or selling controlled dangerous substance. The marijuana charge could be dismissed, but under the Attorney General's guidelines, the wandering charge would not qualify for dismissal. So, you know, the courts are backed up. There's inconsistency. Some people are being told you have to have a court date. Other people are told, you don't need a court date. We'll just dismiss it. And some people are told, you've got Schedule I charges, so we can't dismiss those. So there's a lot that still has to be worked out. And this whole thing about the underage and not being able to search and everything, some people feel that it's encouraging cartels to recruit young people to carry drugs, heroin, and other substances because you can't really search them. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to a police officer who said that somebody had, I guess they saw something in their car, and the guy said, it's for my 12-year-old. So it's like, how do you get around stuff like that? It's, because she's a young person, you can't search her, you can't take it, I guess. It's a warning. And then just lastly, there were some interesting... There was a case study. This is just an interesting little case study. The state court overturns a town's decision to block a medical weed-growing facility months after the construction had begun at this former orchard greenhouse. Basically, the township did not have an ordinance explicitly banning the cultivation of medical cannabis. So the company applied for a zoning permit to operate the cannabis growing operation, not to process or dispense, and the town did not issue an approval or denial within 10 days. So based on that, the company moved forward with construction with implied approval. 2 months later, the town issued a denial because the town had previously approved the orchid greenhouse for cultivation of flowering plants, but it did not believe that cannabis fell into that zoning use. So the court found that the only change was in the type of flowering plant being cultivated within the existing commercial greenhouse, and the township was wrong to wait months to deny a zoning permit to grow cannabis and wrong to say no because it was a marijuana facility. And that was actually down where you are, Matt, Gloucester, or where that Gloucester County.
Gloucester.
All right, Gloucester.
You're Gloucester. From there, you say Gloucester. You're in Massachusetts, I guess it's Gloucester.
Gloucester. So I think that kind of covers most of the updates. I don't see anything else here. I'll just keep up with it. And as little tidbits come up, I'll just let you know along the way.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, should we move on to the next potentially? Were you done?
Yes, I'm done.
I thought so. Yeah.
But I didn't go overboard.
No, a lot of important discussion tonight. I didn't mean that in any specific...
That's important. This is important to know. We
absolutely
have to know.
No, that's...
Okay.
Okay. Next on the topic list is residential lighting, which Mr. Abakowski and Ms. Kohler brought to our attention. We happen to have the engineer still here if you want to engage him in that. So I turn it over to you guys.
Well, basically, I think we've solved our problem in the meantime. The township and Gary McQueen have been getting calls from people about problems with lightings, residential lightings, shining in people's faces, shining in the windows, but going on a while. That, combined with the fact that Steve Reese, when he was here, said that our zoning ordinances, I don't know if it's in the lighting area or a couple of different areas, seem to be kind of scattered, that we should really put things in one place. And I talked to Gail, And she said basically that anything land use, really, it's the planning board that should really put the ordinance together to present to the township committee. So with that, I talked to Abe, and what we're thinking is we'll form a subcommittee of Abe and myself, and we get to have two other people. So we're going to, it's on the agenda for the planning board meeting on the 6th, that we'll go back and just look at everything. And then you won't have to look through. I know Gail had sent you, we have some other things. That was based, I think, on Chester Township, but we also have Lacey. I pulled that. That's got to, so we'll sit down and we'll try to hammer that out, form a subcommittee, and come back to you guys.
So was there anything else?
No, that's it.
That was, okay. So, Abe, did you have anything on lighting? Or is that? So I didn't realize that. Hearing nothing else, so we will be hearing back from the planning board on some lighting recommendations. Takes us to the administrator's report.
Okay, ethics training, April, I'm looking at April 21st for ethics training. Of course, we would have to start an hour.
Hold on.
Ted, if you want to step out, you're welcome.
Okay.
Great. Abe, did you want to weigh in?
Do we need a resolution for us to for approval for us to form a subcommittee? I'm procedurally not aware.
I was under the impression it would be a planning board subcommittee, so they'll take that step.
Okay, and I'd like to ask another procedural question. Maybe Matt can help me. This goes back to resolution 35-2021 that we passed last week. I don't know if it's old business, new business, or what. But generally, this resolution now is a public document. And I would like to send this document to Eric Peterson and Mike Dougherty and John DeMeo, who are very strong supporters of the Second Amendment, and also maybe Sue Soloway. We could probably send it as individual citizens because this is a public document, but I would like to get a vote from the township committee on sending it from the township. I don't know if that is some, how procedurally that is done, whether it's a simple vote, whether we got to put it on the agenda or what.
Matt, would you like to address sending it individually?
Sending it individually can, of course, anybody on this committee or anywhere could do that. I guess if you want to formalize it as a correspondence from the committee, that it has been our practice that would be subject to a motion. I don't think there's a need. It's action, Abe, that's already been taken.
I don't know where we're going to take that step. I would like to put that on the agenda. I feel that's a major stretch from the discussion we had the last meeting on the topic. So if you'd like, we'll put that on the next agenda.
If that's the way it should work procedurally, is that what you think, Matt?
I just want to be clear. You're not talking about amending it, though, correct? Or are we? Because
no, I'm just
because we have in the past included that in the resolution itself that this shall be copied to X, Y, and Z. So.
It is on the resolution, but the resolution says, I think it refers to the Township of Lebanon. It says a copy of this resolution will be provided to the various commissions, committees, and employees of the Township of Lebanon to guide them in their interactions with the public. So I don't know if that means that this would go to...
Yeah, ordinarily when we forward them, we include it in the resolution, so I guess it would be best to list it and vote it. Just so I'm clear, could you run down the proposed recipients?
Yeah, the recipients would be Eric Peterson.
Okay.
Mike Dougherty, John DeMeo, and Sue Soloway.
Okay. Sue as in receipt for the county commissioners.
Yeah, just to make them aware that we have passed this resolution. I think they would be quite interested in it.
I would propose we put that on the next agenda.
If we can take a vote tonight, I would prefer to take a vote tonight if that's procedurally okay.
I believe you can make a motion.
We need to put it on the agenda.
I believe you can make a motion, and if there's a second.
Well, I make a motion that we ask Matt to draw a letter and send this resolution to the individuals that I just described.
I'll second.
That was it.
Okay, let's have discussion on this then. The resolution as passed says, and I don't have it in front of me because this wasn't on the agenda, but it says that the First and Second Amendment, I believe, are foundational pillars of our Constitution, something very similar.
Foundational pillars of freedom, and whereas the
individual freedom.
Yeah.
Foundational pillars of freedom.
Here it is.
Okay.
Individual freedom.
Of individual freedom.
Yeah.
I don't know what message we are sending that Peterson, Doherty, DeMaio, or Soloway would use that for. I think there's the possibility that it's misused. I think if we're going to try to send, going back to when we started this discussion a couple meetings ago, I think if we said that there's some bill pending someplace that we have a specific issue with that has a specific impact on our residents, I think that's something we could explore. But I'll just cut to the chase here. I don't share anyone's arrogance that me on this committee can speak for our residents. And I think if we were going to craft that resolution to send a message to other parts of the government that have jurisdiction over these matters, I think we should also include then a clause in that resolution that says that this has been passed by a minority of or a majority of our committee with the full realization that our residents have a wide range of views on the topic, and we're not representing that there are 2,000 voters in Lebanon Township that agree with what we've said. We're just representing that, at a minimum, three members of the committee have a feeling about something. And that's where I get confused, that I don't even know what we're trying to express that we have a consideration of. No one is talking about taking away the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, or any of the amendments. So I find it...
Oh, yes, they are. Of course they are.
Okay, so we don't even have a common view on this committee of what the issue is. I'm against the motion that you've put on the table, certainly without additional discussion and potential input from our residents. The last meeting, we didn't ask the residents if they would like us to send this message to our elected officials at the state or county level. So we've not listened. Two meetings ago, you rather snidely said to me, we should listen to the residents. Well, you want to listen to some of the residents. I think we need to listen to all of the residents before we vote on a matter like this. I'm just saying I think this is apparently much more of a serious step than some people on this committee think it is. That's my position.
Understood. Obviously, my position is quite opposite. I mean, if we don't have a position on the Constitution, I'm not sure what we have a position on. So, if going back to some of my original statements, if we have residents in this township that are against the First or Second, that are not in support from the First or Second Amendments, that doesn't mean that we don't have those rights. Those rights are given to us by the Constitution. We have those rights regardless of what a majority of the people in this town say. So it makes no difference to me. These are rights that we have. But this is my right. It's your right. It's everybody's on the committee's right. So it's a resolution that has been passed. It's about as innocuous as a resolution as I could possibly imagine. and to worry about sending it to representatives who are in favor of this. I just do not understand what the issue is. And on top of that, that this is a public document, and I could take this tomorrow and send it out.
Yes, yes, you may. And I'm not disputing that at all, and I have no problem with individuals sending it. What I have a problem with is when it comes under some sort of statement that says this is an official position of Lebanon Township.
It is, but it is a position of Lebanon Township. We voted on it.
Yes, we voted on it for the purposes of directing our committees and commissions and employees to understand it. I think a bumper sticker that says support the Second Amendment is more effective than sending the resolution that you're talking about. Again, I'm one vote. I'm expressing my opinion. I feel strongly about it, so I am expressing my opinion. I don't think it's the way to treat the minority members of our residents who may not agree. And maybe it's not a minority. Maybe 60% of the residents, maybe 80% of the residents agree. I just don't think this township should take positions where we have no jurisdiction, that aren't specific, that to me there's zero intellectual rigor in the resolution that we passed. And you know, for somebody to say, you know, we're all for the Second Amendment, that's a bumper sticker. That's nothing specific. That's nothing that says our hunters are going to are going to be negatively impacted because of legislative proposal XYZ. To me, that's what I like to do. If we're going to take a position, we take a position on something that we are taking a position on, not bumper stickers.
Well, I don't want to monopolize this discussion. I think I made myself clear. I'd welcome anybody else who has something to say. If we can put it to a vote, I just...
Well, it will be put to a vote. There's a motion and a second. We're now in discussion. So we're looking to see if anyone else has any discussion before we take a vote.
I just think here we go again, where we put something that's out of the blue, is not on the agenda. The whole point of agenda is for us to become prepared to a meeting with our thoughts, and this is another example of just skirting around it, and I think out of just the fact of procedurally, I'm not in favor of it. I mean, we have plenty of time. There's no reason to make this statement where we can't come up and let the public know what is on our agenda, have us have time to know what's on the agenda, have time to come up with a thought and a direction and a position, and it's just... Here it is, a sleazy, backhanded way to get this in. It just feels slimy to me.
This is not sleazy. This is not backhanded. I said at the onset, I am asking a procedural question. Okay?
Yeah, I don't like been called sleazy. We're talking about the Second Amendment. It's not a bumper sticker. Let's put it to a vote. Mayor?
Roll call.
No.
Yes.
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 No. Okay, we'll direct the clerk to send that to Assemblyman Peterson, Assemblyman DeMaio, Senator Doherty, and Commissioner Director Soloway.
And I do have something to say. That Mark, you made a good point, and I know this one member of the public had mentioned last meeting, why are we hearing things when they're not on the agenda? And I can honestly say that's a sticking point of mine. There are times when I've asked to have things placed on the agenda, and I was told no, more than once, more than twice. If it's something that the mayor doesn't want to talk about, sometimes we're told, talk about it under new business, but I'm not putting it on the agenda. And then we look like idiots when the public doesn't know what we're going to talk about. Because somebody feels strongly about talking about something, he doesn't want it on the agenda.
Okay, next, unless there's any other old business, the administrator's report.
Okay, I'll go back to ethics training. I'm looking at April 21st, 2021. We'd have to start the meeting an hour earlier for the ethics training, which would be 6 o'clock. So
what day was that?
April 21st.
At 6 o'clock? Here?
Yeah, here.
How many of us are going to be in the room?
Just the committee members.
Okay, so we don't. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it will have to it'll still be advertised, but we'll go to executive session from that point on.
All right.
IT assessment. I got all the results for the IT assessment. And town hall, we have 11 computers here, and 8 need to be upgraded to Windows 10. The police department, they have 8 computers, and 2 need to be upgraded to Windows 10 Pro. We're behind the 8 ball on most of our computers here. So I'm going to work out a plan with the IT consultant to see where we can get all these computers up to date. And he said some is just hard drives for $100. They could put a new hard drive in some of the computers, so we can save costs there. But we really got to get our computers up to date, because that's one of the reasons we can't get on certain, because I guess we're on seven, so we couldn't get on certain like emails and that kind of stuff there. So we're on top of that. Also, we're in the process now of getting the Microsoft license for emails. So I'll update you on that. We're going to get that done pretty quick now. Because what happened was we were considering doing ACH and debit, but the CFO did not feel comfortable any companies having our information out there. So hazard mitigation, I'm glad to report, because that's been it's been pretty difficult to get everybody to the table. But the engineer answered all the questions for the mitigation plan. Myself and the OEM coordinator, we answered most of the questions for the hazard mitigation. Only thing that's left is a township planner and the CFO, and I sent those out. This should be completed shortly, and once it's completed, I'll review it with the OEM coordinator, and I'll send a copy to the township committee. The zoning officer and I, we've been doing, I think this is important, when he has a complaint, that becomes real difficult. Him and I, we tried something, and it actually worked out pretty well. We had a Zoom meeting with the resident.
Oh,
yeah, and we went over everything and, you know, what the complaints were, and it actually worked out very well, you know.
That's great.
So him and I will continue to do that if there's any other difficult things, because it's tough to get out there due to the COVID. But that meeting went really well. As Committeeman Lau said, that they'll be posting the chief position downstairs, and I completed the questionnaires for the chief. I gave you guys a copy tonight. I'll also send you email version as well, and in Word, if you wanted to make any changes, so you can, you know, we'd be able to do that. And I will be completing the table of organization very shortly. Hopefully by next week I'll have that done. I'll also send a copy of that table of organization to each committee member to review. That's my report.
Okay, thank you.
Any updates on the door out here?
The new garage floor.
Yeah, the door. It's going to actually be, it opens like a garage door eventually.
Right.
End of May is the.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at.
Are we still dealing with the same vendor?
Same vendor. COVID backs up.
And we still have that 10% discount because they didn't get it right the first time or whatever it was. Good.
So, any other administrator report discussions? Otherwise, new business. Police chief request to purchase e-ticket software. Mark, do you want to give an update? I talked to him today with.
Yeah, so, I mean, just he wants to upgrade this system, you know, for these e-tickets.
To me, he cited that his number one priority is officer safety. He said it takes about 3 minutes sitting in the car, filling out the little box and checking boxes. Mm-hmm. And he said this is about a 20-second process. You type in, mm-hmm. and it generates the ticket. It auto-feeds the tickets to the court, so it's some efficiency in administration and getting it down to them. It improves our internal tracking. And he also points out that new rules and procedures keep coming out of the county, the state, the prosecutor's office, and this will facilitate improving that. But he highlighted that officer safety is his primary motivation for it, so it's a 5-year contract, annual cost of $2,336.40. That's for 5 licenses in 5 of our cars. And he's asked, it's a state contract. We have the state contract number in here, so that's why there's only one quote for it. And I know the clerk has told us in the past to read the state contract out, so the motion, what he's requesting would be a motion to, the state contract number is 89980. Company is Gold Type Business Machines Incorporated. And he would ask us to make a motion to approve purchase of the e-ticket software.
Before we approve that, I don't know if the CFO, because I wasn't really involved in this, certified the funds. You know what I'm saying? I mean, am I correct?
Tomorrow night we have a budget meeting. I know the chief has put this in his budget request, so we're on our temporary budget right now, where I'm sure we have the funds, and we can make sure it's in our.
I think we have to, at a very least, make it conditioned upon the certification of that, because it's a 5-year thing, and the CFO not only has to account for it this year, but for subsequent years, that it be held. I mean, you want to vote on it's require. It's less than $3,000 this calendar year. I understand the budget process. Make it conditioned upon.
But that's a good condition.
Because it has to be. It now has to be approved, and that's the committee doesn't operate. I mean, you shouldn't be bound by that. But if you're willing to bind yourself, go ahead and bind yourself. Realizing that the CFO then has to certify. Now, I think that's the best practice is to require it to be certified before it goes out of the building. You want to approve it tonight, go ahead and do it conditioned upon that.
So the motion would be to authorize the purchase subject to the CFO
certification
of funds.
Certifying the funds and the amount required.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next is in past years we've made donations to some of the land, the 501c3, the charitable land organizations that help us with our open space. One, we received a letter requesting a $500 donation, which I think is what we've made in the past, to the Hunterdon Land Trust. The Environmental Open Space Commission took a vote recommending that we approve making that donation. So the first item of business would be whether we would like to make a $500 donation to Hunterdon Land Trust. They do jointly own some properties with us. Crystal Springs most specifically comes to mind, and they do provide resources. If we call and ask how this or that can be done, they're a resource to us.
I'll make a motion to approve the $500 contribution to the Hunterdon Land Trust.
Second.
I'll second.
Oh, okay. Let Abe second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And the next one is a little bit different. This is to Raritan Headwaters, their 31st annual stream cleanup. Here we can use Clean Communities money to make a contribution of $500. It's actually limited to $500 by the Clean Communities grant rules. We do have that money available in the Clean Communities grant, so the action before us would be to make a $500 contribution to Raritan Headwaters related to the stream cleanup, which is happening on April 17th, 2021.
I'll make the motion to.
Have we ever made. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No problem.
Did you have a question?
Have we done this in the past? Yeah, I'm just not familiar.
Yes, we have in the past.
Curious.
We've done this in the past as well.
I'll approve the $500 donations for the 31st annual stream cleanup to the Raritan Headwaters.
You make the motion?
Make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Any other new business anyone would like to bring up? Hearing none, that takes us to presentation of vouchers.
My first is for M&W Communications. It's for radios for $2,101.06. Then I have Griffith Allen Trucking for police gasoline for $1,305.66. Then I have another one for Griffith Allen Trucking for police for gasoline for $1,360.30. General Sales Administration Police Supply. This is for some items for fitting out the pickup truck for $2,675.72. And my last one was for Kathy Petrick, who cleans the bathrooms in the park. This was actually for last cleaning season for 27 cleanings for $1,485.
I have one here for Griffin Allied Trucking, LLC. It's for diesel fuel for the DPW, $3,595.50. I have another one for Griffin Allied Trucking, also for diesel fuel for the DPW, for $1,348.68. I have another one for Griffin Allied Trucking, also diesel fuel for the DPW, for $3,799.29. I have one here for DEP submission for Fire Station 1, the annual report to Lesco Environmental, $1,750. This is for Morton Salt for the DPW, $13,492.58. That was deliveries in 2020. This is Morton Salt for... Salt for DPW again, $9,247.95. This is National Fire Protection Association, $1,520.50. And this is for Patriot Office Cleaning. This is for the Police Department, Library, and Municipal Building. This is $1,600. This is for Performance Tire, $1,787.18. This is for Reed Systems, which is the Cal Magnesium Liquid Road Agent. I think they mix that with the sand, with the salt, which is $4,975.88. And SDG Security, this is a service agreement for our fire alarms. And in the police building and the municipal building, $2,107. And the last one I have is for Finch Fuel Oil. This is for heating fuel oil for Station 2 in the squad building, $3,707.75.
I have from our auditor, Ardito & Company, the second 25% installation payment for our audit, $7,809. Finch Fuel Oil for fuel to the municipal building and to the library, $1,095.12. Finch Fuel for, again, the municipal building, $1,296.41. And the spring newsletter and website maintenance to Karen Newman of $1,000.
None that apply, but I do want to mention that's crazy about not paying Kathy Petrick for a full year. I know there were some problems, and I'm wondering, how do we fix that going forward? It's not you.
She
puts in her invoice.
Okay, because I heard there was something going on where there wasn't enough budget partway through last year with that situation.
No, none whatsoever.
That's not what I'm hearing.
We didn't pay for a dumpster. We saved $3,500.
No, I know, but I just...
Well, Abe, did you have any vouchers?
Oh, I forgot.
I do two vouchers. One to the Township of Clinton for the shared court agreement for $25,000, and the other to Get Bark and Keeper for legal services for February for $2,479.17.
So the total voucher list is $90,432.12. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Go ahead.
That's okay. You can second it.
I make a motion to approve the vouchers.
So Bev made the motion, Abe seconded. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to a couple items of correspondence. The first you'll see in your packet, we've been contacted by American Tower, which is the tower manager for Verizon, which is the lessee of the cell tower behind the municipal building. AT&T would like to co-locate, and they're asking if we would consider allowing them some additional space. When this gets discussed, this would be a contract matter in executive session. But we wanted to let you know that this is coming up with the attorney gathering up the agreements and determining what our rights are under that agreement. So I wanted to give everybody a chance to do their homework for when this does come up. Next is the tax collector's report for the month of January. You'll notice a different format so that she isn't prone to potential mistakes like we've seen in the past of transposing numbers from one sheet to another. So I'll read the current month, current year taxes collected for 2021, $268,341.75. Taxes collected for 2020, the prior year, $35,837.54. Trailer fees of $2,220. Interest collected of $1,455.05. One check bounced in the amount of $49.94 for total tax collections of $2,307,804.40. Next, we have the curator's report.
I'd like to highlight a couple things here. It was voted upon at the historians' meeting that the museum should administer the $500 scholarship award. So that will be coming out of the historian's budget, but the museum curator is going to take the responsibility of administering that. And also a little update here, if you haven't read this, about the Carlisle Indian School. Apparently they have identified 34 students which were sent over here to work on farms in New Hampton over the 26-year period, and they do believe, although they're going to find factually, if it's true, that some of them may have attended the New Hampton Schoolhouse, which is now the museum. So I just wanted to kind of highlight that for you guys.
Thank you. The fire department report?
Yeah, I do have a report for February in the fire department. I'm just going to read it out here. This is from Chief Solpe, and he, in the month of February, he responded to 62 calls for service, 48 of EMS, and 14 fire calls. For the first 2 months of the year, 116 total calls, 87 EMS, and 29 fire. Unfortunately, they had a couple of fires which they were able to handle, but I think a week or two ago they had a structural fire, and the house was badly damaged. Just sad event that happened there, and it was attended by many agencies on that. I don't have the date for that. Also, the other thing is that I want to bring to your attention that they have training now that they can apply aspirin and Narcan in the event of an opioid overdose. So that's being handled by our EMS division. And also, Baskin Ridge Fire Company Number 1 from Somerset County has heard about our program here, our EMS and fire department combined program, and are going to meet with our senior leaders from our fire department to review if they would like to look into the same situation that we've developed here that they would like to develop in Baskin Ridge. So that does it for the fire department update. It's nice getting these. I hope he keeps it up on a monthly basis. We'll see. But I thank him for the reports. So,
historians' minutes.
Historian minutes. Really, just cross-referencing scholarship from the historians to and the Carlisle Indian School. It's in their report as well. And they talked to me, and I guess we'll discuss this about items of needed repair for the museum. And I think that will be a budget issue that we'll talk about as we get into our budget program. I told them that we hadn't gotten there yet. And really, we haven't had much of a chance to discuss anything. That's all I have with that.
Okay. No other correspondence?
Can I ask a question? Are we asking everybody to give these reports monthly? Because I haven't seen the EOSC or the library. I don't know if they're having meetings or Because I know we just got a load of reports for an entire year that we didn't know what was going on unless you were at those meetings. Are we going to get more regular reports?
We hear what you're saying, and I think we'll direct the the appropriate people to make sure. I mean, we ask for all of them, mm-hmm. and I think I know minutes are taken at meetings, and sometimes we get the full year, but we will try to expedite getting them on a timely manner.
Yeah, because we should, unless...
I would suggest each of us go to our where we're liaison to those mm-hmm. committees and redouble that, but I think we can work through the clerk as well to make sure that we get those.
Yeah, because a lot goes on, and we
Beverly, I think I'm liaison to the library, and I've tried a couple times to find out what's going on, and I don't think they've actually had a meeting.
And again, COVID has changed a lot of things, not to make any excuses, but that it's possible that that they've not met. So we would now open the meeting up for public comment on any comment a member of the public would like to make. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, you'd have to press *6 to unmute yourself. Please identify the road you live on, your name, and you can make a comment on any topic you'd like.
Hello, this is Joyce Leslie, Red Mill Road. First of all, I'm disturbed that another meeting, we have a topic that's been brought up by Abe without it being on the agenda. I think that procedure should be clarified by the group, and I hope that... that type of action won't be continuing. The other question or suggestion I have is that if this letter is going to be sent to all of these other political folks, that it should clarify that the resolution was really the product of three votes by the township committee. I don't feel that our township should be reflected in that resolution. So I hope you'll take that suggestion to heart. Thank you.
Just for clarity, it was four votes, please.
On the resolution, yes. On tonight's motion, three, so we'll just get that.
Policy.
Next member of the public.
Hi. Laramie.
Hello, can you hear me?
Laramie Silber has the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. So if Committeeman Abachowski really thinks sincerely that we need to, as a township, inform other members of the New Jersey representative government that we support the Constitution, that raises many, many other questions in my mind about how he thinks government actually works or what the committee's job is here. We are part of the United States government, a very small part, but we're right there, top down, and swearing allegiance to the same Constitution. We've already done it. We don't need to inform them that we all breathe oxygen here. It's already done. So in that case, because that doesn't make any sense, I think it puts to rest the question that was raised several times last meeting. If Committeeman Abachowski had a backdoor angle in pushing this, frankly, bizarre resolution, I think we can all say yes. I'm not sure what that angle is precisely, but I resent my township being used as part of his personal dog and pony show. That's not the business of the township committee to perform his personal performances. After over 30 people called or wrote in on the last meeting, and I'm sure there were many more who were interested in listening, to then put this forward without having it on the agenda makes me gravely doubt his statement about, quote, wanting to hear from the public. The idea, if you want to hear from the public, is probably to put something on the agenda so that the public can be sure to be there and hear about it and share their opinions. On top of the acrobatic last meeting to vote through language that was never on the agenda, this is a really disquieting and disingenuous pattern. I would suggest that if this letter is going to be sent to the folks the Committee Nowchowski listed earlier, that we also send them the audio or transcript of the last two meetings. the public comment section and the discussion amongst the committee members as well about those resolutions that were brought up, so they can have an honest and accurate vision of what this township is actually representing. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person, I didn't hear who was trying to speak. But.
Hi, it's Karen Newman, Voorhees Road.
Yes.
I'm really disappointed that you took that action tonight. I don't know what Mr. Abakowski's agenda is, but clearly he is using his position on this committee to make political statements. You can't even pretend at this point that it's not political. I completely agree with Mark and the mayor's comments. And, Bev, if you don't like approving things that aren't on agendas, then you should have voted no. This is the third meeting that you've discussed this topic at, and the second meeting that you've taken action on it, and it has never appeared on any agenda. It's becoming more and more difficult to trust what you guys are doing. You're showing a great deal of disrespect to the residents of this township. Thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the committee, you may have to press, or of the public.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
We hear you.
Mary Couture-French. Yes. Hello? Can you hear me?
We do hear you, Ms. Couture-French.
Yes. I live on Mount Airy Road. I'm going to start by saying that, again, that we are a gun-owning hunting family. We hunt on our property. And to imply... for anyone to imply that because we don't support a particular amendment, this particular amendment, that we are not in support of the First or Second Amendment, that we don't support the resolution, that we're not in support of the First and Second Amendment, is truly prejudicial. That being said, I have to take my hat off to Abe, because clearly he has an agenda and he is advancing it very skillfully. The people I'm really disappointed with here are Bev and Tom for voting for this. If you are going to treat some resolutions differently than others, if some are going to be advanced to other political organizations and others are going to follow a standard procedure, that's really problematic. This one should have been sent to the same people that all of the other resolutions were sent to. If you're going to pick and choose which amendments you believe are in jeopardy, then you need to open this up to everybody who has a personal opinion. And the Pandora's box is now open, and you on the committee are going to have to deal with that, because this is a nuanced, complicated, complex problem. It is not a black and white issue. There are a lot of opinions about it. And if you want to step into those waters, be prepared. It's going to get messy. And clearly, Abe does. The rest of you, we'll see what happens.
Thank you. Next member of the public, please identify yourself, name and road you live on.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. Will we be able to hear the budget meetings tomorrow night?
Yes, it'll be the same dial-in number. Meeting starts at 4 o'clock. I believe that should be
posted. 4 o'clock. I'm glad I asked.
Four.
I just want, I know people are listening. There have been things in the past, because when we could go in, I complained often, that things were addressed when it wasn't on the agenda. It has gotten a lot better since Mike, your mayor. But things have gone through without ever being on the agenda and the public not knowing. So that is a problem. But thank you. I'll listen tomorrow.
Thank you. And the tomorrow's meeting notice should be on the website if you need the details. I mean, it's been posted as a special meeting, so we'll make sure it is. Next member of the public. Again, press star 6 if you're not hearing yourself. If we're not hearing you, you may be muted in the system.
Hello, this is Steve Leckley. I didn't want to talk over anybody else, so I waited a bit. I really would find it very annoying, Abe trying to push off this, his very simplistic understanding of the Second Amendment. Unlike most people on this call, I actually had to take a citizen's test to become a citizen in the United States. So I had to do a lot of reading to make sure I could pass that test. So, you know, if you look at the history of the Second Amendment, it's very complex. The wording is simple, but the meaning is very complex. Abe has clearly a very, very single-sided view of what the Second Amendment actually means. And his repeated statements that, you know, it's a black and white issue. Either you support the Second Amendment or you don't support the Second Amendment is clearly wrong. It's not a question of whether you support the amendment or not support the amendment. It's how you understand what the Second Amendment really means. And there's a lot of different opinions on that. You know, I can actually, if you go back to the Heller decision by the very pro-gun Justice Scalia, said, you know, it is, like all rights, it's not unlimited, and, you know, there are constraints upon which the Second Amendment doesn't apply, and they can have rules against that. He put it much more concisely than I did. That's why he's on the Supreme Court and I'm not. Anyway, so, you know, to make those very simplistic false statements where, it's a false dichotomy, and, you know, I think that does a real disservice to the township to try to paint a very complex issue with lots of different opinions, and, you know, we could go in and out on those opinions and all sorts of references. But to paint it as such a simplistic yes or no decision is, I think, very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Disrespectful to people who may hold a different opinion of what the true meaning of the Second Amendment is. So, you know, I would really ask Abe to take a step back, take a deep breath, and to be more respectful for people who hold opinions about what the meaning of the Second Amendment is that don't agree with his understanding. You know, that's the whole point of a democracy, is that we actually get to talk to each other and not to say that one side is right and the other side is wrong and it's all black and white. Because certainly in the respect of the Second Amendment, there is lots of shades of grey of actually what it means, and rather than just saying it's this or it's that. So if you could do that for us, Abe, I would really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next member of the public, please identify your name, road you live on, and you may have to press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Am I... Hello?
Yes. We hear someone.
Jean Lang, Musconet Kong River Road. I am so shocked, even I hardly know what to say. For one thing, I, like others, must congratulate Abe. You waited till over 2 hours into the meeting when you brought this up just sort of as a, I'm not even sure what category it was under, old business. You kind of said, I have a question. And, oh, by the way, by a simple vote, which you got two others to go along with that, this, you said specifically to Mayor Mike, no, this is now how Lebanon Township believes. This is what Lebanon Township thinks, and therefore we are going to send this to our state and county officials because this is officially what Lebanon Township believes. Now, I do believe in the Second Amendment, but I have a problem with that you call it the foundational pillar of our democracy. And individual rights. I happen to completely disagree with that, as is my right in a democracy. What about a right to a jury trial? What about equal treatment? But even those issues aren't what's up here. Someone used the term, one of the committee people, of sleazy backhanded. Boy, I couldn't say it better. For the third time in a row, you, a non-elected committee person, which I don't know where he came from or who appointed him, but now he's hijacked them 3 meetings in a row to put his resolution, his agenda item, the very last meeting, everyone thought we were voting on whether this would be allowed for the committee to vote on a standalone resolution on clearly partisan and political natures. And it was brought up by a lot of people who spoke to that issue, that this would make long meetings till 4 o'clock in the morning. Abe said he didn't care about that. Well, paying taxes in the town, I care about how long our lawyers and our township administrator, et cetera, are kept there. So to then have a vote, just this sort of, Tom, I thought to appease Abe and maybe get back on with some committee business, sort of did a little caveat workaround, and okay, we won't even take a vote, which I believe Mark Law asked for a vote on, whether the committee could take up this type of resolution. You just bypass that. Okay, you're right. That's too hot button. If we vote on that, we might actually get the public to be discussing all kinds of amendments and parts of the Constitution and who knows what else. So we won't vote on that. We'll just vote to alter a resolution, a standing yearly resolution that had already been voted on 2 months prior. And now, not even the subject was on this agenda. At least on the last one, there was a vague subject that people might have known this was going to come up. But tonight, the subject wasn't even on the agenda. So I can only conclude that instead of encouraging participation, which is what the non-elected new committee person says he wants, you are showing us by your actions that you don't care what we think or say. Thank you very much. I'm done.
Thank you. If another member of the public would like to speak, please make sure you press star 6 to unmute yourself. State your name and road. We're not hearing anyone, so make sure you're unmuted. Otherwise, this is the last call. Hearing no other public comments, is there a motion to close the public comment?
I make a motion to close public comment.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Thank you.
Yes.
Did you? Who said no? You said
me. No. Oh. Let's leave it open. I'm ready to stay all night. I wish I could answer
okay,
back.
We're in the boat right now?
Yes, of course. I don't think anybody's there.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes, yes.
And I vote yes as well.
I'm a no vote.
We have no business for executive session tonight, so the next motion before us would be a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.